What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 84 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We are coming to you on a wonderful Wednesday night, and I say it is wonderful because Destiny 2 Forsaken just recently released. Actually, I can't talk right now because I've been playing so much and my brain is total mush. But yesterday, I was going to say last afternoon for me, very happy to finally be playing it. Unfortunately, I was not able to get the time off work to no-life it the way I wanted, so I had to play yesterday evening when I got home. Today, I was traveling for work, and then I had a pretty big meeting in the afternoon, so I ended up working longer than even a normal day for me. So my playtime has been extremely limited, but I still managed to get one character to level 50, light level 500, played a few games of Gambit, played a few games of competitive, got all the way through the story, just about to get to the Dreaming City. But I'll be honest, I've already done this many, many times before. So it's not as pressing for me to get it done as it is, for someone like you, Kutch. So how have things been going for you?
You know what? This has really just been a fantastic week. I did absolutely no life it today. I got a little bit of play in, yesterday afternoon. Just kind of got the story started yesterday, but today I totally blew through the story, took down some barons, got justice, and I do say justice for Cade 6, and, I'm also just, I think maybe one quest step away from getting to the Dreaming City. Played a bunch of Gambit today, played a little bit of Crucible to get a feel for how things are going there, and I'm having a ton of fun. This is a really exciting expansion. It's really shaking things up, and I don't know. That's all I want to say for now, for this early on. I know a lot of people haven't had a chance to fully experience the storyline, so I don't want to spoil anything. I think everybody knows exactly what you're planning to do to the Barons and Uldren, so that's not spoilers, but yeah, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, it's been obviously a ton of fun. The thing that I'm so happy about is that a lot of people are like, oh, you just went back to D1 levels. Like, no, in my opinion, a lot of stuff that is happening in Forsaken is actually a dramatic improvement on D1. I think the Triumphs, the collections have some weird issues with them. Like, I'm not really a fan of the fact that I can't pull year 2 weapons out of the collection. Like, I understand that they have random rolls, but so do exotics, and you basically just give me an exotic with a set roll, right? Like, I have no problem with only being able to pull a set roll version of a gun out of collections. That's the way it's done. Simultaneously, I would have very little problem with being able to re-roll the year 2 weapons the same way we can now re-roll, like, ships and sparrows. Or Sparrows and Ghosts, which I think is really awesome. So I would, and even if they made it incredibly expensive, I would think that'd be good. But I think collections is a huge step up. The Triumphs are a huge step up.
Oh, yeah.
The lore in the game is a huge step up. You know, the perks that are on armor are a huge step up. The new supers and things that we've gotten are a huge step up. The new weapon slot system is a huge step up. I'm still a little iffy on player lethality, special weapon ammo in PvP, ability damage. I'm still a little iffy on those things. I'm not 100% on board with what they've got going on now, but I understand how we got here and I understand why we are here. I mean, even the armor is dramatically improved from... I wouldn't necessarily say it was better than D1, because D1 had some just legendary armor pieces, but the armor pieces that I've seen so far are really, really freaking cool, like better than anything we've seen in D2 so far, which is awesome. The story mission is better than I think anything we got in D1. The voice acting, the cutscenes, I mean, all of it. This is what makes me so happy, is with a couple reservations, things like the infusion system, which I think the infusion system is way too expensive, and I know what the point of it is, but I dislike it. I think the game is in a phenomenal state, perhaps the best it has ever been.
You know, I can't at this point in time argue with you. Aside from the infusion system, which I agree is expensive, and I'm going to be spending a lot of glimmer at Spider in the near future to bring a few things up to par. But that aside, I mean, I'm loving everything that I'm seeing. I've got so much lore, I literally haven't had time to sit and read it. You know, and today in particular, I was really looking to bust through the storyline and get some time in Gambit and PvP so I could talk about them a little bit, so I didn't sit and get caught up on all the lore that I picked up. But it's cool that, like, at some point I'm going to log into this game to read. Like, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of cool to me. Maybe that makes me a huge nerd, but whatever.
What I'm so excited about for that lore is, like, that the ghost hunting is back. Ghost hunting, and I've talked about before, was one of my absolute favorite things at D1.
Yes.
And I'm so happy to see DestinyGhostHunter.net come back up for D2. I'm so happy to find one on the list and go ghost hunting. Like, I absolutely love that. And the lore from the small chunks I've read is phenomenal. Like, each one reads like it's own book. And it is written like it's own book with that level of quality to it. And the stories from what I've read so far are just, they add so much depth to it that it's truly amazing. Like, I care more about the characters that are in the game now than I ever have before. I mean, just the entire game, or almost the entire game right now, seems like it is trending so hard upwards. You know, Gambit is a ton of fun. Even I played 4 games of competitive today, and I hate competitive, or I hated it, and I legitimately enjoyed myself. Now, granted, it's because I started basically at, like, zero glory, so it was, you know, easier games. But I, like, legitimately enjoyed myself because we played, you know, a game of Clash or whatever it was, or Control. Like, we didn't... The radar was back. Like, it wasn't like that old competitive that I so strongly disliked from Season 3. It actually felt fun. It actually felt like a competitive version of D2. You know, they've added in some new archetypes, some new types of weapons. We have bows now, which I have found to be totally phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
A welcome addition to the sandbox. They feel like they reward skill, but at the same time, I don't ever feel like I'm unfairly killed by them, which is amazing. They brought back year one D1 weapons like Chaperone, which are incredibly good. Lord of Wolves, which are incredibly good. Some of them better than they ever were in D1 even. Which is hilarious. So, you know, it's just, it's a great time to be a Destiny player. It is. I guess what I'm getting at.
It absolutely is, yeah. I'm looking forward to the next couple of months. There's so much left to do. Now the initial rush is out of the way. It's going to be kind of buckling down to that slow grind, collecting the new weapons and exploring the additional missions and stories that are left to discover, and it's looking to be a lot of fun, and I feel like by the time I'm almost done, we're gonna have another expansion knocking on the door, and that's pretty cool that I feel like I've got that much game ahead of me at this point that I'm not worried about a dry spell.
That's something that I think they made a concerted effort, and by think I mean no, made a concerted effort to do with expansions, is they've had a history of putting out all the content on day one, and then people burn through all the content by the end of week one, and then they don't have anything to do. So what they have decided to do now, and call it time gating, but I disagree with this, because they're giving us story and lore and gameplay reasons why. They are now drip-feeding content out over a longer period of time, but they are making sure that when they put the content out, there's enough horizontal progression, there's enough stuff to do, that you don't ever feel like you're running out. Right? Like, you know, it's week one right now, and what we have in front of us is what's in front of us. But even when we finish everything that's in front of us, there's triumphs, there's lore, there's all this stuff to go do, that it would be impossible for even the most dedicated player to have finished in the first week. And then when players are just starting to wrap that stuff up, week two comes out. And then week three comes out. And then week four comes out, and so on. And they've already told us that they have a multi-week, you know, approach to this content. They've told us that Dreaming City will change and things like that. So they're pretty much guaranteed that people are going to be logging back in for at least the next, like, 4 weeks or so, or however long this this process that they have is going to be going. And just like you said, by the time most normal players catch up, Like, if you could keep the most hardcore of the hardcore going for a month, that's insane.
Yeah.
A month of hardcore time for a normal player is 10 weeks easily. And that means that, you know, and we're going to have Festival of the Lost during this.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
There's Iron Banner coming back. Come December, we're going to have the Dawning, and we're going to have Black Armory, and we're going to have a new season. So, like, it's amazing. Like, I think they finally understood, and especially with the annual pass and what they're doing, which is focusing on the end game, the pursuits, not big cinematic storylines, but on in-game content, on new weapons, new armor, new lore to chase. Like, I think they have finally found out what it is that the players like. And for the first time in so, so long, I'm looking at the community that is universally positive about things. And we all know it won't last, right? Like, the salt is going to come back at some point in time. But this is the happiest I've ever seen the community. And it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. It was stunning how quiet Twitter was during launch. You could just tell, like, everybody's too busy playing the story. Nobody can stop to say anything.
And they actually care. Like, that's the thing, too. Like, someone said today on Reddit, like, I didn't cringe once during that story. Which doesn't sound like a compliment. But talking about D2, that is an extreme compliment. Like, it was serious. It felt like it had weight. The dude who voice acts Aldrin is phenomenal. Marisov is phenomenal. I think Nolan North did a great job as Cade.
Yeah,
I know some people were like, it didn't really sound like him. To me, like, I thought he did a great job as Cade. I thought Nolan North actually did a great job as Ghost, and I've been hypercritical of him in the past as Ghost, of being too, like, doofy and, you know, just dorky sounding, kind of. And he sounded like there was some serious weight and some serious gravity. And not only that, but he didn't seem like he was speaking for us anymore.
Yeah.
He seemed like he was speaking to us, which I loved. I mean, I'm struggling to find things that I don't really like at this current point in time in the game. And there are some things that I think need some work, like the infusion system. You know, some of the systems in the game may need a little bit of work. The sandbox may need a little bit of tuning. I would still love to have the ability to choose. Yeah, exactly. You can never have a perfect sandbox. I would still love to have the ability to choose my perks from the subclass trees, right? But, like, besides that, the story's got me as happy as it could ever be. The horizontal progression's got me as happy as it could ever be. You know, the depth of weapons and supers and playstyles. They've added true support classes, too. Like, actual full-fledged support classes, which are awesome. One of the games during Gambit today, one of my buddies was using the new Defender subclass. And just popped that shield out, and we stood behind it and just annihilated the Primeval. And it felt phenomenal.
Nice.
Like, I mean, can you think of anything off the top of your head besides perhaps infusion that you can openly criticize, at least at this point, which is, you know, we'll call it less than 10 hours of gameplay in for us.
Yeah. At this point, so let me think. Sticking points that I've run into. I mean, really, it's just been infusion has been the only thing that I've gone to, like, go and do something, and I've been like, oh, I don't have whatever material. I don't remember off the top of my head what I need to do to get that, and I don't care right now because I have story to play. I guess I'll just swap to a blue weapon. So, like, for me, like, I was almost wondering if they had changed it to force us to change up our loadouts for a little bit, or I don't know if there was some logic behind it, or if it's just more of a resource sink, or if it's some combination thereof. It's certainly going to force me to sink some resources, but given that I have been at the Glimmer Cap pretty consistently for the last month and a half, I guess that's not the end of the world.
I think it's definitely a combination of all those things, right? Like, for a long time, we've had uncapped legendary shards. Uncapped, basically the only thing we've ever had capped is Glimmer. And that's actually a really bad problem in in-game economies. Anytime you have an uncapped source, like the fact that we could save up unlimited amounts of tokens. And then the very first thing, you know, I did when I got into Forsaken was just get about 40. No, it wasn't 40. It was probably like 25 gunsmith randomly rolled weapons,
Heck yeah.
and then about an equivalent number of crucible gear loadouts, right? Because I just blew through and I picked up basically their entire, not literally their entire, but I picked up a large portion of their loot pools immediately, which totally eliminated a portion of the chase. But yeah, it rewarded me as a player who played a lot, but at the same time, there's a happy medium where you can reward players and also not allow them literally unlimited like usage, right? So I think it's definitely partially Glimmer Sync, and then simultaneously, I think it's also they just wanted us to force they wanted to force us to move to new gear. And the best way to do that is infusion. If you can't infuse, you got to put on whatever's new or whatever's highest, and it forces you to try out a bunch of different things. And it's led to some really interesting engagements because I needed my highest light, and it happened to be like a shotgun and a sniper, and so I was running a shotgun and a sniper, and it's led to some really fun stuff. But at the same time, like I'm looking at it from the lens of a player who already has almost 1,000 hours into the game total. Who had tons of stuff saved up, 130 master cores or whatever, and it's like, yeah, you know, if I really want to infuse, I can. Whereas you look at like a new player or a returning player who came in with Curse of Osiris, they're never going to be able to infuse. Like, it's going to take them, you know, 100 hours before they can infuse anything. And I'm not 100% certain that that's not an overcorrection.
Yeah, it I mean, it could be a challenge. One thing I did see at the very least, the spider's bounties hand out a ton of glimmer. And it's actually been hard for me to get under 90,000 glimmer, even though I've been spending it and I have been infusing things and you know, like I masterworked my Vestian Dynasty because I felt like it needed to be done. And despite that, you know, just finishing a few bounties here and there, and I'm still, you know, sitting at like 96,000 glimmer. So I think that the activities for people to go and get the resources they need are there. And if you're coming in and you're just playing the Forsaken stuff, running around the Tangled Shore. You can always visit Spider and pick those resources up. And I think that's something that, honestly, given the new infusion system, was necessary. Because last week I was looking at it and I was like, man, this is going to be a pain in the butt. If I have to go farm materials on planets, like I remember doing that in Destiny 1, it was not super fun. Even though some people claimed to miss it when they took it away, I was like, no. Running in circles is not more fun than just buying what I need and then actually playing the game. So I'm glad that Spider's there to trade some of that stuff out. I think that will make it doable. We'll see if the costs need to come down.
Well, if that's all we've got in terms of like our initial impressions, I'd like to get into a little bit of the numbers. Obviously, I've been working a decent amount on the spreadsheet. Unfortunately, there's a lot messed up with the databases right now because just a lot of new categories, right? Like we got some new archetypes, we got some new weapon classes, we've got weapons that are trying to be hidden. We've got weapons that aren't really trying to be hidden. We've got just it's been a total pain in the butt trying to pull stats for all this stuff. And unfortunately, it's not quite done yet, although I did just check to make sure that I believe I have at least every weapon which I can see in the database in the weapon stats spreadsheet, even if I don't have their stats down just yet. But I have played a decent amount of Crucible already. I've played a little bit of competitive, obviously, like I said. I played a lot of quick play, a little bit of Gambit. I've definitely got not a handle on necessarily what the meta is going to be just yet, because there's still a lot of exotics that people haven't gotten their hands on, not to any extent that it could shift the meta. Things like Chaperone, which are killing at absurd ranges right now, Lord of Wolves killing at absurd ranges. But there are some things that I'd like to point out, and maybe talk about things to keep your eye on, as the meta begins to shake out. Things that might help you out a little bit in the PvP environment. That is, of course, if you don't have anything else that you would like to add, before we move on from Forsaken first impressions.
No, I think we definitely need to spend a little bit of time talking about some of the new weapons here. I think that's, you know, I mean, I think people are going to have questions about them. There's some stuff that's sort of familiar, and there's some stuff that's very different. So let's do it.
So I'm not sure if I mentioned these two. These two I actually was talking about last week, but I'm not sure if I mentioned them on the podcast. But precision hand cannons, the 180 RPM hand cannons, like the Aikolos, the service revolvers, stuff like that, they feel really, really great. It is incredibly easy to get the optimal time to kill, but the optimal time to kill is slow. 1.00 seconds. It's a very slow optimal time to kill. It's borderline outside of competitive, but it is also almost guaranteed that you're going to hit it. So all you really have to do is, against low skill players, hope they miss one shot. And if they miss one shot, you're pretty much guaranteed to kill them, which is really, really nice. Conversely, it's going to be exceptional practice for Luna's Howl, which is the same type of hand cannon, but has a bonus perk where it does extra damage on like its third shot, right? And I believe what that is going to make it do is it's going to kill, it's going to three tap.
Oh.
Because otherwise it would be kind of pointless. So if it three taps, it'll be killing in 0.67 seconds, which will make it the fastest primary in the game. And if it three taps as easy as the precision hand cannons right now four tap, I think it's going to be the best gun in the game, hands down. And that is the reason why I started playing competitive tonight, because I was like, I need this thing. Because I think I can dominate with this. Because I like the precision hand cannons, but I have noticed if I go up against a good Vigilance Wing user, they can shred me.
Yeah.
Because they'll hit their shots, and it just kills faster. So I've noticed that. So precision hand cannons, definitely give them a shot. Start practicing for Luna's Howl. I think they're exceptional. And low-skill lobbies, where you can count on players missing, you can dominate with them. Jade Rabbit is getting a lot of love right now, as far as the 3-tap high-impact scouts go. I recommend Polaris Lance. I think Polaris Lance is a lot stickier, and in general just feels a ton better. Plus, it is really, really fun to get the 3 headshots on someone, and then put 1 headshot and then an explosive round burst, an explosive round shot onto the next guy. Now, unfortunately, I believe depending on their armor levels, I don't think it can actually kill anyone. It might be able to kill like a 0 armor player. But I think we tested it on a 4 armor player, and just 1 headshot and the explosive bullet and burn could not kill them. But it is still tons and tons of fun to use, and the gun just feels so sticky, so easy to hit the head with. So I definitely, if you like Jade Rabbit, I would definitely recommend checking out Polaris Lance, especially because it's in the energy slot, and it frees up that kinetic slot for you to use something else.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I still, you know, 2 years... 2 years later, can't use a high-impact scout to save my life. But those precision hand cannons, I will second that recommendation as something to take out for a spin. I have had... I haven't played with them yet this week, but last week I was having a good time with Nature of the Beast. I've always liked the way that gun feels. And right now, with the damage it's doing, it feels real good. It's real easy to use. So I would say, you know, pick your favorite and, yeah, get good. If Luna's Howl is as good as you say, then it's going to be worth chasing. I'll have to get into that competitive lobby too.
Yeah. Has that perk actually been talked about? I feel like they showed Luna's Howl in the competitive stream that Bungie did.
I did not see it. If they did, I didn't see the whole stream though.
I'm pretty sure, because I saw someone posted online like, oh, Luna's Howl is going to be able to 3-tap, and they posted the time to kill, and they were way far off on the time to kill. And it hurt my soul deep on the inside, because I knew that they were far off on the time to kill, but at that point in time, I was working at Bungie and couldn't say anything to them. moving on, so I actually did a decent amount of work. Spiffyster on Reddit helped me out massively by providing me with a lot of the actual shots to kill at resiliency levels. Which I then went and put into the calculator to figure out the damage per shot that was being done. Now, we have a problem where in Destiny, the damage numbers are ceiling rounded, meaning that if it is 21.1, it displays as 21 point, or 22. And it's a huge pain in the ass because basically a gun that is barely doing over 32 damage could show as 33 damage, which dramatically affects its ability to kill mid to high impact or mid to high resiliency players. So I went through and I tried to find as many as were dramatically affected. And right now it looks like high impact pulse rifles, rapid fire pulse rifles, adaptive burst sidearms, precision ARs, rapid fire ARs all have a pretty significant difference in displayed and actual critical damage, meaning greater than half a point of damage. So I have updated all those numbers on the spreadsheet, and then similarly rapid fire ARs, high impact auto rifles, precision hand cannons all have greater than half a point of damage difference for body shots as well. So that is something to keep an eye out, especially if you're using the tool to calculate and it's like, oh, this is doing one less damage than it displays in game. It's because I round like a normal person on the spreadsheet, and if the decimal is under 0.5, I'm rounding down so that it gives you a better actual representation of the damage that the weapons are doing than the displayed number in game will be doing. Now, they're not perfect, obviously, but I'm pretty damn sure we've got the resiliency values nailed down to within 1 point. So they should be very, very close. But the honest to God truth is you shouldn't really be using the resiliency values to determine the lethality of a weapon other than in just general terms of like, oh, I can kill the majority of players in 3 taps. What you should be using the resiliency values for is I get killed by this gun a lot. What can I do to up my survivability against it? That's what you should be using them for, right? So that was just something I wanted to get out there. Those numbers are going to hopefully get even closer this upcoming week once I do a lot more testing, because we also got a lot more archetypes too. Not a lot, we got like 3 more archetypes and a bunch more exotics, and I have to test all those damage numbers as well and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, definitely a few things that are going to need some double checking. We've got new aggressive burst sidearms, aggressive burst pulse rifles, an aggressive burst hand cannon, which is a bizarre concept to me. We've got bows, of course, as well that are gonna bear testing. Although the short answer is they do a lot of damage. It's gonna be a busy time on the massive breakdown spreadsheet. But that's good.
I'm looking forward to it.
I see a ton of people looking at the sheet on a regular basis, which is awesome. Good to see people getting the benefit from it. So. Spread the word. Yep. Share it around.
Yep. Speaking of those new archetypes that are coming out, so the aggressive burst hand cannon, I don't think anyone has gotten yet. At least I haven't seen it in my research. So we're going to leave that one out for right now because we just don't have anything to go on. Aggressive burst pulse rifles are good. They're very good. If you were having issues with the high impact pulse rifles only being able to 2-burst up to 6 resilience, then use the high impact pulse rifles because they can 2-burst everybody. Now, granted, in the higher resiliency levels, you are going to have to be hitting all your headshots, which is pretty difficult. But I find the body shot TTK to be relatively forgiving, and the optimal TTK is very, very fast. I believe it's like 0.73, 0.73 seconds.
Yep,
it's very quick. And I'm pretty sure you only need 7 crits in a body, so you don't even need 100% of your shots to be crits, at least against 6 resilience. I love that a lot. I think they're phenomenally fun. I've been using Go Figure as my go-to weapon in the Crucible right now, so I would highly recommend that. As always, Outlaw, Kill Clip, Rampage, gonna be the things you want to look for. In addition to that, the aggressive burst items, which I do not have, but you, Kikuchi, were kind enough to give me the info for them. And I had another buddy, Van Holden, who has been helping me out so much on Xbox, capture some gameplay footage and send it to me. So it's an interesting burst. It actually fires one shot, then has a 2-frame delay, then fires a second shot. So it's a 4-frame long burst that fires 2 shots, one the first frame, one the last frame. And then it has 7 frames in between bursts, which is pretty nice. This gun, on paper, looks phenomenal. Unfortunately, in practice, seems to be pretty difficult to use. Although I have not used it myself, I have been told it is rather unwieldy. The range is subpar, but that makes sense because the optimal time to kill is 0.73 seconds with 3 crits and 2 bodies, and the body shot time to kill is 0.83 seconds with 6 bodies. So my recommendation is just body people. But at the same time, if the range is as unwieldy as I've been told it is, it's not really going to matter too much. They made a super OP gun, and they basically locked it into shotgun range, and you know what that means.
Yep.
New counter to shotgun rushers. There you go. All those people whining last week, just another tool in your arsenal.
Yeah, I did. I actually got two. I had one with some bonus range, and I had one with kill clip, and I couldn't really decide which one I liked more, because the one I could actually hit shots with, the other one, when I did get lucky and kill somebody before I got hit with a shotgun or a sword, man, it did a lot of, it hit hard. You know, getting that 30% bonus, already doing 45 on the crit, packed a punch. Definitely made some people back off. But overall, I found it very difficult to consistently hit shots, especially staying in motion. And when you're trying to use a weapon with as little range as that gun has in a game that is packed with people who can shoulder charge, shotgun, hit you with a sword, so many close-up, you know, one-shot kills available. You have to be in motion. You have to be bunny hopping, strafing, jumping over people. Like, you have to be unpredictable, and it makes it really difficult to use that gun. And I do play bumper jumper. Well, I play a modified bumper jumper, but that's not the point. The point is I can jump and aim at the same time, and it's still really hard to hit shots. So my suggestion is, honestly, unless you get one with some serious zoom bonuses, probably just stick with the shotgun or find a different weapon.
Yeah, and so I got two more recommendations, or at least one recommendation and something I want to talk about. So high-impact fusion rifles like Aran Till, this is something I discovered. I kept trying to make them work with liquid coils, which bumps the damage up from 48 to 49, which is not enough to 5-bolt any player. It's enough to 5-bolt players like under 9 resilience, depending on the way the rounding damage works. But it also slows down the already relatively slow charge rate, and I just wasn't really liking them. So I was using Main Ingredient and Emperor's Envy with liquid coils, which are enough to 5-bolt all players, or most players. And that was pretty nice. It was pretty great, but I just kind of wanted more. So what I actually found out is that if you get a high impact fusion rifle, again, like Aran Till, and it has high impact reserves, because it spawns in with only 2 rounds in the magazine, high impact reserves will already be active, and it will immediately jump the damage to 50, and then your next shot will do 51 damage per bolt.
Nice.
And you don't have to increase the charge rate, so you still get all that wonderful stickiness, and they kill in 4 bolts. The only other fusion rifle that can kill in 4 bolts that consistently is Telesta.
Mm.
So I use these a lot, and they felt phenomenal. Definitely highly recommend. If you're into VOOPs, give it a shot. It's not going to charge as fast as the Main Ingredient, but it's going to kill in a whole bolt less, and I think that's worth it. It is my new go-to, basically. I actually deleted a couple other fusion rifles. But what I would really like to talk about is, man, are bows a ton of fun.
Holy cow. Yeah, you're not kidding.
They are great. I feel like Robin Hood. I feel like the Crucible is Sherwood Forest right now. I feel like the opposing team is the Sheriff of Nottingham's men, and they're just getting slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
It is really wonderful. There are a couple of tips and tricks I have. Number one, you're never going to one headshot a full health player. Even if you were standing in an empowering rift, you're only going to be doing like 180. The precision ones that we have right now do 151 to the head, about 101 to the body. Now, that being said, there is a higher impact bow coming out, Wishender, whenever it appears. Will have higher impact, and we will evaluate that when the time comes. But for right now, you're not going to be taking down a full health guardian. And what that means is patience, patience, patience. You hold that bow, and you wait till he takes some damage from your teammate, and then you fucking snake it out from under your teammate, and you just take that kill. I posted a clip on Twitter last night of me getting a triple kill, all headshots, because I found three enemies that were wounded by my teammates, and I took all three of them, and it was wonderful, and that is how you do it. The second best way to do it, dear God, if you can get into a fire team and you can run with one other person who also has a bow, and you peek the same corner and you pick the same target, they will die immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. And the wonderful thing about bows is they have so much aim assist. It's not like a sniper where you actually have to kind of be aiming at their head. Like, bows are so forgiving.
They really are. Of
hitting targets. But you do need to make sure you've got it drawn all the way back so you get that hit scan benefit. Because if you don't draw it all the way back, it is not hit scan. It is a projectile. Then you got travel time. Nobody likes that.
Yeah, I had a blast using that bow. Like you said, like I felt like Robin Hood, and everybody was just a pincushion, waiting to get stuck. Like it was incredible. So I found them really useful in two ways. First off, right now, I think they're extra good because people don't realize that if they get shot with a bow, they need to stop peeking that corner. Nobody knows that yet. We are teaching them slowly. And soon they will learn. You get shot in the face with a bow, go somewhere else.
I hope they never learn. Because it is so easy to get a kill on the guy who second peeks the corner after he's already been hit once.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked up so many of those. I picked up, like you said, so many cleanup kills. They're a fantastic weapon for cleaning up. They're also, I will say, fantastic if paired with something like a pulse rifle. You just land that crit, swap, and shoot, they're done. Even if you just body, you're going to be hitting the 50 damage that you need, a single shot to take them out. You have to actually miss to even have to pull the trigger a second time, so... It's a lot of fun if you like to hang back sometimes, and that's kind of what I've been trying to do because everybody's running in so hard right now.
And they work super well with anything with quick draw too.
Yeah,
right. Like it's hand cannon. It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, take your pick there.
That's actually until I finish up the spreadsheet, I'm not gonna have too much more, and I don't want to speak a bunch when I haven't done my research. So I'm actually content to call this a quick episode.
Yeah.
And shut it down because we also got a super late start because my damn computer is betraying me and was breaking. So I'm happy to call this one a quick finish. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a lot more stats, a lot more breakdowns, a lot more stuff to talk about. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about my time at Bungie as well now that the game is out and things have started to release and we can chat about them more. But in the meantime, do you have anything else to add, Kutch?
No. Get out there, get Uldren, and we'll see you out there, guys.
All right, later.